to the people, to his people. And once the Spirit comes, then the desert will turn into the forest. You know, the dry land will become a wet land. So Holy Spirit, just like a shower or rain to nourish everything, to make everything become alive. So on the day of Pentecost, in according to Book of Acts, after 10 days of Jesus' ascension, the Holy Spirit came upon to the members. And at that time, all the believers, together 120 believers of Jesus, they just received the Holy Spirit. So this is so true that whatever Jesus promised, and then they experienced. From that time on, the church, the true church, which is the body of Christ, is established. And then through this power of the Holy Spirit, all of the church missionary become prosperous. And church later has been established everywhere, from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the entire land of the Roman Empire. So you can see, you know, the church history already demonstrated how the Holy Spirit can move the work of God continuing until today. So this promise of Holy Spirit, we can also receive it. We can also just have something. Like a deposit, we can cash it out. We can really experience it. 2,000 years ago, this promise of Jesus, we can also experience after 2,000 years. Then nowadays, all the members in the true church, almost, you know, everywhere in the church, the member experience the same thing. So it's very miraculous experience. So Holy Spirit, we know this is the Spirit of God. It's related to our salvation. So why we come to church? What is the purpose? We want to listen and try to study, you know, the gospel of the true Jesus church. Because we want to have more understanding about salvation. We want to know Jesus in depth. We wanted to know why we have come to church in order to be safe in the future into the heavenly kingdom. So I think the purpose is very clear to every Christian. We wanted to be safe, right? We wanted to enter the heavenly kingdom. So according to Bible, now we have to think about what Bible said. Bible said the Holy Spirit actually is the one of the requirement which Jesus said to his disciple, say, unless we born again through water and spirit, otherwise we cannot enter the heavenly kingdom. So this is in John chapter 3, verse 5. So we have to born again through water and through Holy Spirit. So this is the two requirements Jesus said. So we born again through water means receiving water baptism, and we born again through spirit means we have to receive the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, actually, this is a way we have to experience and receive it, and then our life can be renewed. And this is just like another life, because we through water baptism, we revive, we resurrect from death. Before believing Jesus, before receiving his water baptism, we are spiritual death. Actually, we are dead in spirit. This is from our ancestor, Adam and Eve. Nobody can escape because we are all descendants of Adam and Eve. But through Jesus, Jesus provides another way. So we can be revived and resurrect from death. So after water baptism, we become a living being again. And then the Holy Spirit is Jesus, he promised to all his disciples. We will be renewed through this Spirit. And then we will receive the evidence. So if we have a Bible you can turn to, because this is what Bible said. Once we hear the gospel of truth, we must also receive this Holy Spirit as evidence. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians. Chapter 1, verse 13 said, "In whom we also trust after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believe, yet you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Verse 14, "Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." After we hear this word of truth, the gospel of salvation, then we will also were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And this is the evidence, earnest of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. So this is just like an evidence that we are saved. We have hope. We have this privilege to enter the heavenly kingdom. So Holy Spirit become a evidence that we belong to heaven. So to every Christian, this is very important. Once we hear this salvation, this is a seal. Seal means this is a mark that we belong to Jesus. And not only for the life to come, because this is the redemption. He talked about after our death, then we have another life, which is in heaven, then we can enter it. But on this day, on this life, we also need this Holy Spirit to help us. Because without the help of Holy Spirit, it's very difficult to finish this journey. Because you see, nowadays, we have so many different kinds of thought, theory, discovery every day from all different area, right? Just for example, I just viewed the news. You know, when I was in college, studied the biology regarding to the chromosome DNA, we always, you know, view it or this chromosome X, it's X shape, right? So we consider, oh, this is the truth. This is the way we study our chromosome, our body life. But almost 30 years later, 40 years later, now the technology revise what we understand before. Actually, the chromosome is much more complex than before. It's not that simple. It's this kind of shape, because in 30 years ago, the technology is not advanced. They don't know exactly what the shape of the chromosome now, right? But the chromosome didn't change, but our understanding changed already. So in this technology, every day we experience all different kinds of the new knowledge, and you know, this is in a good side of technology. On the other hand, nowadays the technology, this society give us so many different kind of influence, especially to change our thought, right? So the pollution, we say this is the mental pollution to our human concept, because more and more people they question about God. Does God exist? Is God real? So many different the discovery just like in the outer space, all different kind of the stars. People, they imagine later, you know, one day they may go to all different kind of planet and live there. You know, consider where is God and where is so-called the heavenly kingdom, where? Now, but we know this is the spiritual. This is not something visible or physical world. This is a spiritual. So, you know, in order to overcome all this kind of the different concept, which is against the, you know, the what Bible, the truth in the Bible, we do need the Holy Spirit to make us understand or even have more clear vision in God, in His promise. Holy Spirit become a comforter and helper. So in Book of John, I think in Book of John, let's turn to Book of John chapter 14. The Holy Spirit is a helper, is a counselor to guide our way. So let's turn to Book of John, chapter 14, verse 16. Verse 16, Gospel of John 14, 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it see Him not, neither knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwell with you and shall be in you. Gospel of John 14, verse 16 and 17. This is what Jesus promised to His believers. He will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter. When Jesus was with his disciples, they are so comforted because Jesus will dissolve all difficulty, all kind of the problem they have. To Jesus, everything get smooth, you know. So no one get disappointed from Jesus. During the time of Jesus, every man, every human being came to Jesus if they believe in Jesus. If they really have faith in Him, they all receive what they have, what they want. So the sick get healed. The blind receive their eyesight again. The devil possessions, they receive their freedom again. So all the person who came to Jesus received their praise from Jesus. But Jesus only came to this world for a very short period of time. After that, He departed, ascend into the heaven again. And then He sent the Holy Spirit. And as He said, He will abide with His disciple forever and become a comforter. So this is a helper. So in the verse 17 says, this is the Spirit of truth. This comforter will guide us into all truth so we can understand more about Jesus. So in chapter 16, let's turn to chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 13. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. So this is how Holy Spirit can give us more understanding about the things to come, which is spiritual things. So in order to understand the spiritual teaching of Bible about Jesus, about everything related to this salvation. We do need the Holy Spirit to guide us into the truth. So that's why Holy Spirit is the necessary gift of God. God, when Jesus came into this world to save human beings, he already have a whole set of the blessing and package. You know, we call this is salvation. He give us the understanding of who Jesus is, and then what he will give us, the salvation, and then how those who believe in him can receive it perfectly. So Jesus, he knows we by our own ability, we have no way to enter it. So he give us this gift of promise. Holy Spirit will come and then guide us into this truth, and then we will receive strength. And not only we will go out to preach, just like nowadays, we are members. So with this kind of zeal, they want to preach, to share this good news to everybody, and invite us, you know, to the church to hear, to pray, to fellowship. What? Because we want to share with everyone this salvation. And then if we can experience this Holy Spirit really become an evidence that Jesus is alive now there in the heaven. He still listening to our prayer. That's why, you know, the Holy Spirit is become a key turning point of many members. Because this verse says, the truth of Holy Spirit. So this is that's a guiding light and make our path clear. Say, oh, we know, oh, this is the truth. And this is what Bible promised. And we can understand. We get it, and then we do it, and we experience, wow, this is so true in the Bible. Everything is not just a story. Everything is related to for our benefit, for our salvation. So Holy Spirit is the gift for our salvation, for our inheritance as evidence. Then he is a comforter, he is a helper to guide us into the truth. And Holy Spirit gives us actually our power to do it. You know, sometimes we do know a lot of knowledge. We receive so many kind of information. How can we transform the information we receive from outside and then change it, transform it, become our own, and then we can do it. So our life really can be changed. So this transformation of life, we must rely on Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the renewing power. So we not only receive it, we read truth, and then we can really do it, make it, put it into practice. So Holy Spirit is the gift of God. So we don't have to pay money, right? So nobody can receive this Holy Spirit by offering money to church. No way. You know, in the book of Acts, there is one guy. When he witnessed how Holy Spirit came upon believers, he was so admired this power. He wanted to offer apostle money to receive this authority. This, wow, how wonderful. Someone lay hand on a believer, and then they receive Holy Spirit. Let's turn to this verse. Book of Acts, chapter 8. Chapter 8. Book of Acts. Chapter 8, verse 18. A person called Simon. This Simon was a sorcerer before his conversion to Christ. He was someone considered himself a great man, and people also worship him as an astonished witness. He seems so powerful. But after he believed in Jesus, then his weakness, even one thing, and make him more amazed. Verse 18 says, "And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money." He offered them money, want to buy. And then 19 saying, "Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit." Verse 20, "But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." You can see here, this Holy Spirit is no way be purchased through money. Meaning, it's priceless. It's beyond our money can buy. No one can buy it. This is a authority, and this is gift from God directly. Right? So then Peter, he answered him in explained further in verse 21, say, "You have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God." And verse 22, "Repent therefore of this your wickedness, and pray God, it perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you." So here, once when the Simon he considered to purchase the Holy Spirit through money, Peter said, "You perish. Your money perish with you." Because he didn't understand who gives this gift to those believers. This is directly from God. So apostles, they lay hands on all these members. This is just a helper. This is the power, Holy Spirit directly from God. So we can see how this is gift of God, priceless. No one can buy it. But actually, we can just simply receive through our heart. If our heart is pure and upright, we know we can only ask Jesus, and he will give us. So how can we receive Holy Spirit? Since this no way be purchased through money, then through what? How can we receive it? Let's turn to Luke chapter 11. Since this is a gift. It's a gift. So we just ask. Book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 9. Chapter 11, verse 9. Can Maggie, can you read? Ten. Okay, so 11 to 13. Naomi, can you read? Amen. So this passage is the word of Jesus. He said, if you ask, then it should be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it should be open to you. So it's very simple. Just because we know this is so precious, the gift, the promise is so precious. If this is a way we can experience God's promise for our future life, you know, which is in heaven, then we have to get it as evidence. And this is also a renewing power for us to finish this journey and then can really enter this heaven kingdom. And because we know this is so good, it's so important, then we just use a very simple, humble attitude to pray for it. Because the Father, even though the worldly Father knows how to give children good things, how much more the Heavenly Father will give us the best, of course, right? So if we ask the Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, and then He will fulfill our request. So it's very simple. We pray for it, and then we will receive it. This is the so-called promise. So in Jesus, no matter how many promises He make, He will fulfill. Because He is able. Once He said, just like, you know, sometimes we also experience it. We also say, right? If we use our mouth to say something out, we cannot take it back. Once we say it, then it become fat. No way to change it. We can apologize. Oh, I don't put this intention to say something out, but unfortunately you said it become no way to return, right? So this is our human being. We may make mistake. We may say something wrong. But to God, to Jesus, whatever He said is the truth. Whatever He promised, He will fulfill. That's why we call it God. He is our Savior. Because He is not only a man. He is God. So His promise, He will fulfill. So that's why if we have faith in Jesus, then we ask. Ask for this priceless gift, then He will fulfill. We will experience it. We have so many testimony in Chuji Church who received Holy Spirit and then they convinced themselves, yes, this is the Church of God and this salvation is true. We have I think in Kronoka Park, we also have all different kind of story, a testimony about how Holy Spirit changed our heart. Right? I think Jason is a very obvious example already. We have a brother in Brazil, São Paulo, Brazil. He came to believe in Jesus after become a Christian in other denomination for almost 12 years. But in this 12 years, he just doubted. You know, his faith actually up and down very oftenly, because he always witnessed someone in the church we have so bad. So he doubted about, is this salvation true? The Bible true? How come, you know, the believers of Christ behave like this? So, you know, in times he disappeared from church. He didn't want to go. But later he considered, oh, because he has no way to find comfort. So he wanted to again go to other churches and to seek for the truth. But no, at the end, he disappointed. So he decided, I am not going to any church anymore. But thank God, through his classmate. His classmate preached to him, actually 3 years. In the beginning, he always reject the invitation. He just consider you are the same with the other churches, so he didn't even want to try. But year by year, this sister continued to preach to him, invite him to attend the church, a gospel event. And then one day he just considered, okay, he feels sorry about to this sister. And then he promised to him, okay, this time I will go. Just on that day, he decided to join the church event. He has a big argument with his sister. His own sister cast him out and then reject him. Just put all his belongings out of the gate and say, you cannot come in anymore. Wow, he was so disappointed. And he was so sad. Why? How come my sister treat me like this way? No, because his older sister is just like a boss in the house. At that time, his parent was not there. So he was so sad. And then he considered, now the sister, his friend invite him to go to church. So he just, considered, oh, maybe it's still a time. He called the sister, and then the sister just invited, you come to join. The church still have a service in the evening. So he went to attend the church service the night. During the service, he just cannot concentrate because he experienced so many quarrel and stack things with his own sister at home, so he just cannot concentrate and really don't get the message through the sermon. But at the end, they have a final prayer. The preacher also invite everyone come forward to pray and pray for Holy Spirit. And this is the first time he saw how Suju Church pray in tongue. And he was so shocked. And in the beginning, he just could not concentrate because everyone, speak in tongues, and then it's kind of loud because many people together, I think at the time, maybe more than 60 members together to pray. So he just could not concentrate. But because the prayer also go for about 15, 20 minutes. Now, after a few minutes, he just considered, I cannot just wait here until the end, right? He just prayed to Jesus, oh, Jesus, please give me a concentration. Help me to concentrate my heart. And then please give me your Holy Spirit. Let me experience it. Because no matter what, how much the preacher said, I have to experience it by myself. If you really give this promise, I can receive it. This is how he prayed in his first prayer. And because he asked, give me, God, give me concent, give me pure and help me to concentrate. And he started to pray, hallelujah, praise the Lord. He used, he opened his mouth and said aloud. And then in this prayer, God grant him the Holy Spirit. His tongue started to turn. And then his whole body just like get shocked by the electricity. And he's full of the joy. And his body is shaken. And his tears just drop. And this is how he experienced Holy Spirit. And through the point, all his doubt about Jesus, about Bible, disappeared. So right now it's almost 20 years, more than 20 years actually. He continued to serve in the church and continue to pursuing this salvation. And never he doubted about the heavenly kingdom. Never doubted the power of the Holy Spirit, because every time he can rely on the Holy Spirit to guide his way. So this is the promise. And we can experience too. We only come with a simple heart and a humility to God. Because if we cannot buy it through this worldly material, how can we get it? We just have to ask, and then He will give us. Right? So hopefully this message can help understand this Holy Spirit. It is so important. And the more we understand, the more we rely on this Holy Spirit, this the promise, the gift of promise. Once we experience it, we will know the church really is God's church. And the salvation we receive really is a precious, no, beyond our imagination. Because this is invisible, but it will decide our destination after this life. And this is the true salvation. We have a living hope in the future. So in this opportunity, we can also pray after, I think after other activity, we will have a chance to pray for this Holy Spirit. So may Holy Spirit continue to guide our way and open our hearts so we can experience it and eventually can understand the salvation and decide to follow Jesus. All right, so before I conclude this message, let's pray in silence. Ahmad, so we have Jason to take over.
Thanks, Pastor Holmes, for the detailed explanation about the Holy Spirit as the precious gift of God. And also understand the reason, what is Holy Spirit about, and also the reason we need to ask God to receive the Holy Spirit. For now, we're going to split in two groups, and we're going to have discussions about the pastoral sermons, and anything about the Holy Spirit, questions, or sharing, or testimony. We're going to split in two groups, and we're going to discuss about the Holy Spirit and what we learned, and anything about the Holy Spirit and questions. And afterward, at 3:15, we'll come back. I come to the main chapel and prayed that we can truly experience the Holy Spirit ourselves, to ask God to give us the Holy Spirit. So now we're going to split in two groups. So 1, 2, 1, 2. Let's just go start with Maria. And you go 1, 2, 1, 2. So we have two groups. All right. Yeah. Adrian? Mike? All right, Paul's one. Cheryl, and then Freddie. Victor. One. Okay, so group one will be going to the dining room. Group two, please remain in the chapel. So we come back at 3:15, we pray for the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's begin. So one will be going to the dining room, two will stay in the main chapel. So one, let's please...